Good morning. I'm thinking about what to talk about this morning. Thought about been a rough couple of weeks for our family here. And it's really been a rough year for all of us. And, you know, sometimes we can't fix the situations we find ourselves in, but we can share and we can remember how wonderful our Lord and Savior is. We can remember about God and all the beautiful things that He has given us. And we can be comforted knowing that while we are not in control, God is in control. He loves us very much. And we can bring comfort from that. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." One of the things that God gives us is hope. He's the God of hope. We believe in more than what we see. We believe in more than what we see around us. We believe in a resurrection. We believe that God is in control. We believe that God loves us. We believe that He has changed heaven and earth through the blood of His Son so that we can be forgiven and right with Him. And this hope changes us. It doesn't mean that every single thing that happens in our life is happy. It means doesn't mean that evil doesn't happen in this world. But it means that we have something we were looking forward to. We think of this in a woman who's going to have a child. I've never been pregnant, but I hear it's not the most comfortable thing that happens. I hear there's a lot of physical things that it's not fun, you know, and all of this. And then childbirth isn't something most women look forward to. Maybe just get it over with. But that's a hard thing. But as Jesus mentioned, you look to what's going to happen. A child is going to be born. And now those things are put into perspective. While none of them are fun, I think, and none of this, the childbirth is a great process, but what it yields is a child. It changes things. It changes a couple to a family. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what we have to do in our day-to-day lives is there's bad things that happen, there are evil things that happen. There are things that are maybe neutral, but are not the way we wanted them. But we have a God of hope. And the hope here from Paul is that He may fill you with joy and peace in believing. Things often don't go well in the world. Things happen that are sad, that are bad. But we can have joy in the promises of God. We can have joy in understanding that things are taken care of in a way that we couldn't. And when we're right with the Creator of the universe, we have a peace. You know, when the shepherds were told that Jesus was born, peace and goodwill toward men, this isn't that the wars were stopped. This isn't that people will stop fighting. This is that Jesus came to bring peace between His creation and God. And that's a beautiful thing. We have hope, we have joy, and we have peace. And this hope, again, is that we may abound in hope. We may abound in looking forward and seeing that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, verses 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Again, speaking of God, He is the Father of mercies. He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. And again, God is the God of all comfort. We can go to Him and be comforted. And that is a beautiful thing. there's a problem with that, in that we have to be more mature in our faith to really get this the best way, right? This is something that we have to have a good faith. We have to have a working faith in order for this to help. Now, God's there to comfort us no matter what our maturity level is, but this is harder. So this God who comforts us, what happens then is, so we can comfort others. So those of us who have been Christians a while, and we understand this comfort of God, we take this comfort of God, and we use it to comfort others. This really struck me when my mother died. There are two types of people who say they're sorry. The type of people who love you and care for you and they say they're sorry, they haven't experienced that. And they're the people who have lost a parent. And when they come, it's different. It's still sad. They still love you. They still want to comfort you. They still want to help you. But some people understand more. They've been where you're at. They have been comforted by God, and they take that comfort and they take it to you. They don't fix the problem, but they understand, they've been there, and they love you. And that's where we're at today as a family. We've all experienced different things, but we're all sad when death happens. We're sad when people are taken from us, but it's something that some of us have experienced in different ways, and we can help each other, because we have received comfort from God, and we give that to others. In Psalm 57, we'll read the first three verses. Psalm 57, verses 1 through 3. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out His steadfast love and His faithfulness. Again, this thought of God being merciful. God is merciful and kind. And we take refuge in the shadow of His wings. This is that beautiful thought of God. You know, when Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem, where He wants to take them and huddle them together like a mother hen would protect the chicks. You see, the world doesn't offer refuge. It doesn't offer the refuge that God does. We can take comfort in God who is in control of everything. We can take comfort in the God who loves us. We can take comfort in the God who loves Gary and who loves Brenda. We can take comfort in the God who is watching out for us, who wants to be with us for eternity. This God is there till the storm passes by. This makes a lot of sense to those of us who've lived it through bad storms. And, you know, in Oklahoma, sometimes Tracy wanted to go to the storm shelter a lot more than I did. But we would go to the storm shelter and you would roll the big door over it because it was in underground in our garage. And usually we had a lot of people over because we had tornado parties. And yeah, we had a storm shelter, a lot of fun. And you would sit there. Of course, I didn't sit quietly. I talked a lot and we told stories. For the kids, so they didn't get scared. And then, eventually, you know, it would be okay to come out. And sometimes we have to go into a storm shelter. Not a storm shelter made in concrete and steel, but a storm shelter of God. And we hide in Him. Because, much more than the storm shelter, He's able to protect us. Much more than the storm shelter, while we felt safe in that storm shelter, we can feel much more safe in God. Because He is merciful and kind and He loves us. Sometimes we need to cry out. We can confuse this idea of while the joy and hope we have that we have to always have our church face on and always be happy. That's not what God shows us. And so we can cry out. We can cry out in pain. We can cry out in fear. We can cry out in concern. We can cry out in desperateness. We can, in depression, we can cry out to God. He's there for us. And this is a beautiful thought, that God will fulfill His purpose for me. Now, this isn't, you know, the Calvinist thought, but God has a purpose for us, and that we would glorify Him, that we would be saved by the blood of His Son. All of those things, that's our purpose, that we would be light in this world. And when we go through struggles, when we go through painful times, this is the time when our light will shine brightest. Not because we're at our best, but because the world expects us to not have hope and to be completely devastated, but we aren't, because we have a rock that is God. And this is an opportunity for us, because of that hope we have, to be very different. Very simply, we ask God to save us. We ask God to comfort us. And He does. And it also, this section ends with, God will send out His steadfast love and His faithfulness. God loves better than we love. We go through times when we're good at being a loving person, and we have times when we're not good at being a loving person. We all struggle with that in various ways and in different circumstances. God is perfectly loving. And it is steadfast. It is true. It is one that doesn't fade with time. It is for us. And it is beautiful that He loves us like this. I think this is an important psalm. If there's Psalm 46, which we covered probably about 6 months ago, being the refuge. We can look at Psalm 23, that He is the shepherd that loves us and leads us. We can look at these things that God preserved through time so that we could understand this relationship we can have with Him. In Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17. Revelation 7, 16 and 17. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is speaking of heaven. And this is where our hope lies. This is why we look forward to something better. This is why we can have a joy even when life is horribly hard. This is why we can persevere. And this is when one of us dies, that we don't mourn like the world. We miss those who die. We miss them. We miss the being with them, the comforts we have received from them. But they do go to a better place, to never be hungry or thirsty. To never be hungry or thirsty. Can you imagine that? I mean, this is probably the simplest of the things we talk about here, but it is such a part of our life on this earth. We're hungry and we're thirsty. We eat. And we have to drink and we have to eat, and it's just something that we constantly, everything that we do in our life seems to be revolved around food. Right? Can you imagine a life where you don't hunger? You don't thirst? The physical cares of this world. I mean, I think it would be neat to go a day without a sinus headache, right? Something very minor, but we won't have that. The physical ailment. The problem, the aches and pain, the severe illnesses that people go through. They're not there anymore. No scorching heat. No sun that beats down and gets in your eyes. So the heat and cold are, again, part of our existence here. That's not there. Those are the simplest. But then to think that in the song we sang, the Lamb, Jesus will be their shepherd. When my mom died, before she died, when we went to see her the last time for her 60th birthday, she didn't recognize any of us. And it was so sad. And it's not the way it's supposed to be. But when she died, she didn't go to some place that was a better version of our. She went to be with God. With her shepherd. Something better. And that's beautiful. While it is sad that they have left this earth, we believe with everything we have that there is a better place. He will guide them to springs of living water, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We try to comfort. We do it out of love. We do it out of concern. But we just don't get it sometimes. It reminds me of one time when Quentin was probably 3 and something happened, and Tracy's crying. I'm at work. And so Quentin, being the loving child he is, he gets a little stuffed animal, brings it to her, hands it to her, very sweet. She doesn't stop crying, so he grabbed her, stuck her with the animal, and walked off. It's like, okay, I tried. You should stop crying now. Sometimes we're that awkward. It doesn't mean that we don't love. It doesn't mean that maybe we haven't been in similar situations. But we're just not as good at this as God. In John 11, verse 35, known as the shortest verse in the Bible, when Lazarus died and Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. And this verse simply is, Jesus wept. This is a very important verse to me, and I hope it's important to you. Because it answers so many of the things that Christians say sometimes that I don't think are exactly right. The heart is right for it, but you know, sometimes we go, well, when someone dies, we know they're going to a better place, so why should we be sad? Jesus wept for Lazarus. Jesus made heaven for us. He believes in heaven. He made it. He believes in the resurrection because He's going to die for it. In fact, He knew that He was going to resurrect Lazarus physically at this moment. And He still wept. He was still sad. And you say, well, why? He knew about heaven. He knew He was going to resurrect Him bodily there. That Lazarus was going to continue to live. Why? We have to guess some, but I think consistent with Scripture, we can say that when Jesus and God made the earth, death wasn't part of the plan. And He knew through rebellion and sin that death came into this world. Physical death came. And this beautiful creation that He made had been marred from sin. And then also, He saw the people around that were sad. And He loved all of His people. And so, when death happens with us, it's okay to be sad. In fact, it's not okay, it's good. Because God has blessed us to share time on this earth with people we love. He has blessed us with time to help each other. We bond over the craziest things and the hardest things in life. We bond through happy times and sad. And then one day that person isn't with us. They've gone to a better place, we believe, with everything we have. But they're not with us anymore. And for that, we can be sad. And if Jesus was sad, I think that is great permission for us to mourn. Not mourn as the world does, but to mourn knowing that we have hope in eternal salvation and the life of God. This is a storm shelter in Oklahoma. It's actually the same brand of storm shelter that we had. This used to be the person's garage, and this is the storm shelter. Went in there and had two benches along the side. And so we spent a lot of time in this storm shelter. This is when the 2013 tornado came through. It was an F5. And those people have lost all their physical possessions. But they were fine. You can see that the force of the storm was so much that it moved the car on top of this sheet metal. There's a winch in there, a hand winch, that actually opened the door. So maybe this might mean more to me than it does to you, but they were safe in there. And that is a physical, and not a perfect physical representation of what God does for us. Our world can crumple around us. We can lose all of our physical possessions. We lose those whom we love. But we're safe under the wings of God. These people had a lot of rebuilding to do. There were a lot of things they lost. But they were safe. And we can be safe under the wings of God. We love everyone here. We're saddened by the things that have happened. But we have hope. We want to help you. And we'll pray for you. And we love you. We'll be dismissed to classes.